Hi, welcome to another episode of the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Welcome back.
So before we go any further, we'd like you to pause and take a look at Amazon for our book, A World of Difference. And what's exciting is that we have a coupon code for a discount on the book. So if you want to get a super cool discount, all you need to do is send in an email to us at wechallengeautism@gmail.com or just drop a DM on our Insta handle and we'll be happy to share that coupon code with you guys. At this point, it's only valid for deliveries in India. So I'm sorry if you guys are tuning in from overseas, but very soon we're working on getting those discount codes going. All right. With that out of the way, we are really, really, really excited to have a very special guest back on our podcast.
Yeah.
She is no stranger to us. We've had the pleasure of having her here earlier, as I just said, and we are super thrilled to welcome this super mom. Hi, Vidya.
Hi, Swati. Hi, Geeta. Thank you for having me.
Hi. You know, you're the episode that we, the podcast that we did with you was one of the most spoken about episodes.
Oh, thank you so much.
There were many mothers who, you know, said it was so inspiring and that you kind of set, you hit the right notes because it's your experience that speaks, right? So,
yes,
we are very, very grateful to you for coming again to speak with us.
And thank you for having me. I'm very grateful as well.
Vidya, can I just tell you how much I love that you are putting out, you know, on your Insta handle especially, you're putting out information that's so valid and so important for parents to know. I think recently I saw your post on wearing a mask and how you, you know, the procedure. And I mean, just as a BCB, I thought, wow, like this is a mom really who's understood the principles of ABN, who's really like putting it out there for other moms to know. So I really love that, you know.
Thank you, Swati and Geeta. You know, I did an Instagram story a couple of, I think maybe last week, where I had asked this question. And I saw that a lot of moms there answered that their children were not wearing a mask or maybe they were struggling to wear a mask. So I said that was a perfect opportunity for me to come up with something because these are exactly the same steps I used with my own son. So it's exactly the information which I use in my daily life. That's what I share on my Instagram for other parents.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot of been there, done that.
Exactly. That's correct. Yes. Correct.
So today we have a couple of questions for you. And if it's okay, I'm going to sort of just dive right in.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. So first up, I listened to an episode of, you know, your podcast, The Autism Family Story, the podcast on siblings and what it's like to raise a child with autism while you have another child who doesn't have autism or is neurotypical. So if you're okay with this, can you tell us a little bit about your journey raising these two kids?
Sure. So as I already mentioned in the podcast, you know, autism affects the whole family. It's not just the child with autism. And of course, their siblings, they play a very important role in this journey because they are going to be there with their brother or sister longer than us. So this affected our whole family as well. The first thing which happens is as parents, we feel so, so responsible to help our autistic children that we spend countless hours engaging with them, trying to take them to different therapies and to different programs. And in turn, we miss out on spending quality time with our neurotypical kids. I personally, you know, I'm guilty of this as well. I feel somehow I missed out on building that connection with my older son. And today when I look back, it really hits hard. You know, I think deep down somewhere, my older son has developed kind of resentment. I know he, you know, he understands now. He's in university. He's on verge of adulthood. So he definitely understands why I was devoting all this time to Arian. Right. But I think this is the time which we can never get back. And I really sometimes feel very guilty about it.
Yeah, I know. How much older is your older son?
Oh, my older son, he's 19 and my younger son, he's going to be 16 this November. So they have a 3.5 years gap between them.
Right. Nice. I'm sure it must have been a fair challenge to, you know, two kids who need your attention and need your time. And how do you kind of divide it between them? It's very hard. It's hard even with two typically developing kids, and must be harder with somebody who has different needs.
Oh, of course. And, you know, as you know, we live in Canada. So, you know, we didn't have any family or any relatives or anybody to help it. Like, we didn't have that support system, which people in India have. Yeah. So it was kind of really hard because the whole responsibility fell on my shoulders, you know, to take care of the kids. My husband was busy, of course, with his job, and he did a lot of traveling. So it was kind of me with the kids, and it was really hard to, you know, find that perfect balance. So somehow now when I look back, you know, I know I cannot get back that lost time, but, you know, moving forward, I want to, you know, focus on building that connection, which somehow I missed building it with him when he was younger.
Right, right. Understandable. So looking back, you know, on your older son's childhood, what was the impact, did you think, on him? How did it manifest, some of the impacts of the fact that he had a sibling with autism, or the fact that, you know, mom and dad were very busy and he perceived it as not being given enough attention? How did it manifest, and what was the impact on the child?
You know, like Aaron was, you know, he was all the time, he used to say to us, "Mom, you don't love me. You don't spend any time with me." Or, you know, "You love Aaron more." And kind of, you know, I think we started noticing the effects in his behavior. He's a good kid, but I think somehow, you know, his behavior was showing that, you know, he used to get upset. You know, he wanted me to take him somewhere. And of course, you know, Aaron had his therapy, or Aaron had his programs. So we were not able to do it. Dad was not able to give him enough time because he was busy with work and traveling a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it somehow showed in his behavior that, you know, he was getting upset by it, and he was really getting affected by it.
Right. And he also voiced it sometimes.
Oh, of course. He voiced it all the times, you know, till the time I think he didn't go to high school. I think he voiced it all the times. And, you know, as parents, we really tried our best to explain to him as to, you know, we are not ignoring him, or it's not that we don't love him, but, you know, we have a you know, his younger brother who needs much more attention. So mommy is just trying to help him. But I think at that time, you know, he was so young as well. So he was not in a position to understand.
Right. Right.
What was happening. And of course, you know, I think when you have a sibling with special needs, you miss out on that sibling bonding.
Yes.
You know, like the way the children play together, the way they do things together. So I think our children, they miss out on that. And I think somewhere deep down, they do feel it, even though they are not able to express it.
Yes, yes. In fact, recently we had a mother talking about the older daughter, you know, actually crying and saying that my little brother does not love me, does not want to be with me. The little kid has autism, and the girl sees it, you know, she's seeing it as rejection. Why is he not playing with me? Why does he run away from me?
Or why does he say no?
No.
Because he's just learned how to say no, right? So he every time she comes, he says no, and then she gets really upset.
Mm. It is really heartbreaking, you know, like what our typical children experience. And, you know, unknowingly sometimes, you know, they get ignored, which is really heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. So at some point, did you feel like, you know, he resents your younger child, or the fact that he's getting so much attention?
No, I don't think he resented his younger brother. But I think, you know, he never expressed it to us as such. But I don't think so that he resents his younger brother, but he loves him. But, you know, the kind of bond they share is very different than a bond between neurotypical kids.
Right. Right.
So it's a very different kind of bond, the way he tries to interact with his brother. You know, it is really nice for us to see that now he's able to connect with his brother at a more, I think, deeper level than what he did when he was younger.
Yes, Yes, and they can be fiercely protective, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, he's very protective about his brother. And like the other thing is, you know, I know this is, you know, a very difficult conversation to have, but, you know, we always as parents worry what's going to happen to our children when we pass away. And I think it's so important that we have this conversation with our typical kids. So we did sit and have a conversation with Aaron just to see, you know, where he was on this. So we were very happy to see that he really wants to help and he wants to be there for his younger brother, because I think it is very unfair for us to automatically assume that they want to take up that responsibility.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's so important that, you know, no matter how hard the conversation is, that as parents and we have that conversation with our neurotypical kids so that we can have a plan of action for the future.
Yeah, I think that's beautifully put. Because oftentimes I know parents kind of tell the typically developing sibling that it is your responsibility. And that can, you know, kind of become a burden on the child if you, you know, put it that way. Like,
I mean, I think it can even get in the way of them wanting to do that. Because most siblings, do want to help their, you know, their autism, right? But it's how it's put across, I think.
You have to do this.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility.
As opposed to actually asking them. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
Exactly. And that is what, you know, I would really advocate for other parents to, you know, have this conversation and exactly this way. So don't just tell them, you know, you have to do this, you know, ask for their opinion. I think that way they will be more open. You know, maybe some kids will say yes, some will say no, but at least that way they will know that we are not putting any kind of pressure on them.
Yes, yes. And it's clear for the parents as well.
So they can
plan for the future better.
Correct.
Right.
And Vidya, how old was Aaron when you sat him down and had this conversation?
You know, we just had this conversation, I think maybe a couple of years ago, you know, when he was in his, I guess, maybe grade 11 or something like that, grade 10 or grade 11. That's the time we had this conversation, because, you know, nobody knows about the future. Nobody can predict about the future. And, you know, in most of the families, I think it's the moms, you know, the families really depend on to take care of our kids with autism.
Right.
But again, like I said, nobody can predict the future. So that worry is always there in the back of the mind. What if something happens to me? What if I get sick? What if something happens? Who's going to take care of my child? So that's how we started having that conversation with Aaron.
Beautiful. Okay. So is that something you would recommend to other parents as well? Like when your typically developing child is, you know, in his teenage years, sit him down and have this conversation?
Yes, I will. Because I think by that time, they gain some level of maturity, which they don't have when they were much younger. So I think that might be the best time for parents to sit with their other kids, their neurotypical kids, and have that difficult conversation. So at least that way, everybody knows what the path is going to be for the future. And again, it might turn up like that, it might not, but at least, you know, you have had the opportunity to sit down as a family and to discuss it.
That's true.
So, you know, one of the other things that a lot of parents talk about is the fact that the typically developing siblings do not want to bring their friends home because, you know, they feel bad that here is my brother or sister, whoever it is, who behaves a little oddly or, you know, will not participate in things that the sibling does or they do together as friends. So we've had a lot of families who say, my child never wants to bring his friends home. He would rather go and visit them. Is that a situation that you faced at some point?
No, actually, you know, we were quite lucky in that situation because I'm very friendly. We are still very friendly with my older son's childhood friends from the school. And we got to know their parents. You know, we explained to them about Arian, his autism. And somehow, you know, right away we were accepted. So the friends used to come to our house for a play date, or, you know, Arian used to go to their house, or, you know, everybody, they accepted Arian. So we never felt, you know, that Arian was not accepted at some point of time. Right. You know, maybe Arian, I don't know, as a child, maybe, you know, he used to feel awkward, or maybe he felt awkward sometimes bringing his friends home, but he never expressed it to us like that.
Right. So that's really nice, because I think that's one thing that many, many parents struggle with. And oftentimes, you know, another question that comes up is, when do you tell the sibling, explain to the sibling, what is, you know, why is my brother or sister different? When do you explain to them? When do you think they're ready to understand if it is autism, what is autism? And the, you know, the whole gamut of understanding the disability or the difficulty or the difference.
Correct. So I would like to answer this in two parts. So the first thing is, here in the West, autism is quite common.
Yes.
So people talk about it openly. You know, everybody knows somebody, you know, who has autism, or maybe their sibling has autism. So people are more accepting of the diagnosis here in the West. Versus comparing it to India, where, you know, people are still ignorant about autism. So I think that is one of the biggest struggle I feel, maybe why the parents feel that, you know, siblings, they don't want to get their friends home, or they feel awkward, you know, bringing their friends home. So I think there has to be more awareness of autism education in India. I think when there will be more awareness, like in the West, I think hopefully this situation will change. So that is one. And the other thing is,
when did you explain to your child?
Oh, yes. The other thing is when to explain. I think when they are ready. And the thing, the way you do it is, you know, you can read some books to them about autism. There are a lot of children's books now on autism. So maybe you can start doing that in stages. So, you know, it's not that one day you just, you know, sit with your child and you right away explain to them what autism is. Maybe they will not be able to understand at that point. But maybe if you can expose them, say, to some, you know, autism books, read the books, you know, why these children behave differently, or what is it, you know, they are experiencing. So maybe slowly, you know, you can start explaining to your neurotypical child that your brother or sister is different, and in what way. Of course, tailoring it to their understanding and for their age. Right. So I think that that's the way you start doing it. But I think when there is more awareness, these things, I think, will come up very naturally. And I think most of the kids here in the West, I think they are quite pretty familiar with all these things. I feel so personally.
Right, right. Yeah, I think definitely helps as a culture when you're able to speak about it more openly, right? Because the struggle here is always that, oh, we can't tell people, we can't, you know, there's just so
many
much
of them don't even tell extended family members about the diagnosis. So there's a lot of that
completely unnecessary stigma, right?
It's the stigma, right? You know, it's the societal pressure, I think, you know, which in India, you know, people care so much about it. But here, I think, you know, here the parents, they don't have to care about all this, you know, what you really focus is on your child. So I think in India, this needs to really change. And I don't know how long it will take, but, you know, you all are doing such an excellent job of, you know, educating people. So I'm sure that one day things will change. I'm sure it's going to take time. But, you know, parents should let go of that societal pressure. What is somebody going to say or think about their child, and just focus on their child? And I think it's that day that change will be born.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Lira, that was just beautifully put. Like, I'm going to actually caption that,
oh,
you know.
Thank you.
Incredible. True. So to all you parents, please, please hear what Vidya has to say. I think it's so important to just focus on your child and forget about
Log kya kahenge. I know. I remember one parent saying, you know, we spend so much of our creative energies in trying to hide this or to pretend that it does not exist. So isn't that energy better spent on, you know,
helping the child?
Oh, of course, helping the child and then educating the people around you.
Community.
You know, to make it better for your own child, because that way the whole community will be helped, not just that child, the whole community. Yes. I think this really has to change. And I really hope people, you know, understand this, that it's so important to be very accepting of the diagnosis and not be ashamed about it.
Right. Absolutely.
I think that was a beautiful message for all the parents listening in. Thank you, Vidya.
Thank you so much.
So is there anything else specific that you would like to, you know, share from your experience?
Sure. You know, I want to just share a few things which parents can do to help, you know, their neurotypical kids. So that way they can start building that connection and relationship from now when they are younger. So what I would like to start with is, try to spend at least, you know, some one-on-one time with your neurotypical kid. It can be just going to the movie, just going to the park, maybe just going and having an ice cream, anything what they like, to try to spend some one-on-one time with them. So they feel, you know, there is a connection. They are able to, they feel secure. There is a connection with the parents. So I think that is very important. The second thing is, I don't know if in India, if there is anything called like a sibling supports group, because here in the West, there is I used to take my son for a few sessions. So if there is any sibling support groups, I think it is so important for our neurotypical kids to join those groups, because there they can meet children who are experiencing the similar thing, what they are experiencing. Right. And I think that way they are better able to understand about autism and about their sibling.
Right.
So the other thing is as well, you know, just try to, you know, get them involved in your child's therapy. It can be very simple things, maybe just playing a game with them, maybe just trying, you know, try to read a book to them, anything which will help them to feel a part of, you know, the therapy where they are helping their, you know, brother or sister. So I think that is very important. And then, of course, just speaking to them, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, reading about autism, exposing them to different literature, so that way they will get a better understanding. So I think these are very simple things, but very doable, you know, for those parents who have younger kids. So I think they can start doing these things from now. Even if they can do even one thing from here, I think it's going to benefit them.
Absolutely. That will make a big difference. At one point, we did start a siblings...
Social group, right? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
I think that's going to be very helpful. I think if you, I don't know if you have any plans of starting that again, but I think that will be really helpful for, you know, all the families.
Yeah,
absolutely. Pandemic willing, we will.
Exactly. Yeah. With this pandemic, nobody knows, you know, how long things are, you know, going to be like this, but hopefully soon things should get better.
Yes. Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Vidya. Those tips were really amazing. And I think there were some beautiful quotes as well. We're going to pull out. Absolutely. We're going to use your quotes everywhere and we're going to quote you.
Thank you so much again for having me. I really appreciate, you know, thank you for having me. I'm really very grateful for this.
Thank you. And for our listeners, recently someone asked us how they can contact us for questions or even a suggestion after reading the book. So, well, here's what we have to say. Whether or not you've read the book, we are completely accessible via our website, our email ID, wechallengeautism@gmail.com, our blog,
behaviorswag.com,
and our Instagram and Facebook handles. So you can always, always reach us. We are here. We're here just to make the lives of people with ASD more meaningful and help families along the way. So stay in touch
and be well.